I turned it on now. There you go. This morning, or all day today, is the international, or I think it's the National Day of Children. Might be international, I don't know. But I thought, because it's the National Day of Children, I would take a text out of the Scriptures that is a most beloved text for children. Children often sing the little song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. And it's about Zacchaeus, the publican, the tax collector, who wanted to climb the sycamore tree that he might see Jesus Christ. And that is the text we're going to look at this morning. My children sang that song all the way up through their young ages, through Sunday school classes, junior church, all of that. And boys and girls still do today. But when we look in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 down through 10, we find the historical record of Zacchaeus and his desire to see and know the Lord Jesus Christ. But my point this morning is I want you to see with me how that he overcame the obstacles that stood in his way. There's oftentimes many obstacles that pop up in our lives, whether it be in our desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ, or to make a good living, or to have a good marriage, or to have a childhood in obedience to our parents, whether to live a moral and right life. There are many obstacles that pop up, and we have to make decisions every single time they pop up. What are we going to do with this obstacle? Am I going to let it stop me or alter me, or am I going to overcome it through the power of God? And we're going to see that in Zacchaeus, it's much more than a children's song. It is a wonderful biblical record of a man who overcame the obstacles that were between him and the Lord. So let's go to God in prayer. Let's ask his blessing on his word, and then we're going to look in this text. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us as we look into these verses. I pray that you would help us to be a people who listen as you speak to us, deep in our hearts and our souls. Help us to see the obstacles that are preventing us from being all that we should be for you, and help us to overcome them through you, that we might honor and glorify you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 down through 10, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." So as we look at this biblical record, we see some obstacles. First of all, we see some personal obstacles. And then secondly, we see some public or social obstacles that stand in the way of Zacchaeus. So the physical obstacles every one of us face in some way, shape, or form. And when we look at Zacchaeus, we learn how that we must overcome. We cannot let those things in our life hinder us from what God has for us, whatever they may be. The first thing you see that is a personal obstacle for Zacchaeus is his stature, his height. When you look at verse 3, it says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature." You know, that's an interesting thing for the Bible to note. When you come to the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was teaching, he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature?" The Lord said, all your worrying and all your fretting, it can't change how tall you are. You can go ahead and, I know I've lived in Vermont long enough that you hear people say, well, the reason farmers' kids are taller is because they walk in the manure all day, you know, and so to make them grow tall. But I've met short farmers too. So you can walk in manure all day. It's not going to change your stature. You can hang from a bar. You can do whatever you think somebody's told you can help change your height. It's not going to change your height, is it? It's only the Lord that's going to make that happen. And Zacchaeus, he was of small stature, and he had an obstacle. He wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and his height was hindering him from seeing over the press or the crowd that was gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, in each of our lives, we can't let whatever physical thing that might come in our way be holding us back from what God has for us. We have to make a decision. God is going to enable me to overcome, and I'm going to strive towards that. Whatever it may be, whether it be our height or our strength or our capacity to see or hear, we have to overcome. Years ago, I remember when we brought to the church young man by the name of Scott Anderson, and he came and he spoke for us several times. And Scott had cerebral palsy, born with that, and he was confined to a wheelchair, and he spoke very, very with great difficulty, and it was a little difficult to even understand him. But you know what? Once he got into a routine, once he got into a rhythm, when he spoke, you could understand him, you could hear him. And he has traveled all around the world preaching the gospel, even though he has that cerebral palsy, even though he has that halted speech, yet God has used him. Why? Because he allowed the Lord to help him overcome. And every one of us in our lives, we can learn from Zacchaeus. Because yes, while Zacchaeus was short, he was not going to let that hinder him in coming to know the Lord. But it wasn't just his height that was a personal obstacle for him. It was also his occupation. When you look with me at verse 2, listen to what it says. "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." So when you look at that, it forces us to go back into history and find out what is a chief publican, that this would be for him noted in the biblical record of him coming to know the Lord. In the structure of the Roman Empire, they collected taxes just as in the U.S. they collect taxes. But the difference was Rome would go ahead and put out the decree, and then it would be subcontracted to collect taxes. So whatever province you were in, there was a government official, and he had to send so much money to Rome every year. So he would subcontract that to a chief publican. That chief publican would prepay that quota, that amount, then he would collect whatever he could from the citizenry. And anything over what he prepaid was his to keep. So under the Roman structure of paying taxes, everybody paid a 1% annual personal income tax. 1%. I could live with that, couldn't you? But that's not where it ended. They also had to pay 10% on all agricultural or grain harvests. They had to pay 5% on all wine, fruit, and olive oil. It's starting to add up, isn't it? All imports that came into the harbors had a tax, and all exports that went out of the harvest had yet another tax. They also had a property tax. It's starting to sound more and more like the United States, isn't it? So when the publicans, when the chief publican would prepay the regional tax, he had to be an exceedingly rich man. Then he would subcontract to publicans, who would subcontract to local collectors. And they would, that's why they were so hated, because they could stop a person as they were going on their way. Say John had a donkey, and on that donkey he had loaded several pigs that he was bringing to market, not in a Jewish community. No. But say you were going to the Gentile community, and so you got several pigs on your donkey. A subcontracted publican could walk up to John and say, "Hey, good-looking pigs."
Why, yes.
Absolutely. That's not what you'd say. You'd say, "No, these are low-quality pigs, sir." Because he'd be saying, "Great pigs. We need to tax you X amount because of the quality is so great." And he would graft and gouge the community, the farmers, the laborers, the workers, the candle maker, the carpenter, everybody. They were all the time leveraging for more. And they were hated because of it. The Roman Empire, they were wise in that they thought, well, if we go ahead and commission people from the community, they will not be so hated. But it only made the community hate them more, because they thought to themselves, "You're my neighbor, you're my kin, and yet you are taking advantage of me." So when you look at this, you understand that Zacchaeus had a great obstacle before him, and that all his neighbors, all the people who he grew up with, they looked upon him with disdain. They didn't want him in the midst of the crowd. They felt as though he was unworthy to even be near Jesus Christ, this great preacher, prophet that was coming through the land. They'd not yet fully understood he was the Messiah, but they're beginning to think that maybe he is. And a person like the publican, surely the chief publican is not worthy to be around the Christ, the Messiah. This is a true obstacle. And we will see how he overcomes that as we come down further. But the third great personal obstacle he had was his riches. Look with me again at verse 2. "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Now, I mentioned to you how you had to be rich to be the chief publican. In order for you to prepay your region's taxes, think of how much money that would have to be. He was immensely rich. The difficulty with that is, almost universally in every culture and society, the common man seems to resent and envy the rich. We just saw that in the election cycle that we just went through. We went through that election cycle, and it was a great upheaval across our nation of people who just turned on the rich. And they're saying, yes, the rich needs to pay more. They need to pay more. They need to pay more. And that is a real part of that inner culture of human beings. Zacchaeus had a real difficulty. He was, yes, part of the culture and the society, but bitterly hated and envied by all his neighbors and in the community because he was rich. You know, I want to read to you what our Lord tells us about money. 1 Timothy 6:10, as God inspires Paul to write this, listen to what he says. "For the love of money," and I want you to catch that, "the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." But I want you to note, it doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, but the love of money. And we're going to see this play a real part in Zacchaeus' life. This is going to rear up in the midst of the story, because Zacchaeus is going to have to come face to face with his love of money. And he's going to address it with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, it's not money that's the root of evil. Money is nothing but a tool. It's nothing but a utensil in our lives. used to pay our electric bill or our mortgage or to go ahead and put gas in our car or buy clothes for our kids. Money is just a tool. But when it becomes our passion, our love, our desire, then it begins to take over our lives. When we wake up every morning and we embrace it and love it, it's all we live for, it's all we work for, it's all we think about, then it has erred us from our faith, is what the scriptures teach us. And it becomes a snare in our lives. And that's what had happened to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus knew it was a problem in his life, and he's going to address it. So we know he has several obstacles, personal obstacles. His height is an obstacle. His job is an obstacle. His money is an obstacle. What's he going to do? He wants to come to know the Lord Jesus. He wants to see him. He wants to hear him. But he has these obstacles. And it's really not just personal obstacles that stand in his way. There are some social or public obstacles that are in his way as well. Very much like in our culture, in our society. You know, certainly there are people who try to push us away from our faith. They tell us, oh, how absurd it is for you to go to church. Oh, how absurd it is for you to believe there's a God. Oh, how absurd it is for you to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Oh, how absurd it is for you to believe that he was born of a virgin. And in culture and society, in the news, on TV, the comedians, they mock and they become an obstacle in the way of people's individual faith. And yet the whole time, God calls out to us and he woos us and he beckons us to come to know him. Zacchaeus had an obstacle in the public because the public is going to try to push him away. Listen to what takes place in verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Because of that press of people, he had to get through the people to see Jesus. He had to get through the pressure of the crowd to see Christ. And you and I, you young people especially, you're faced with schools and colleges. You're faced with all these people who are telling you it's absurd for you to believe in what people have believed for thousands of years. See, the absurdity to me is that this generation thinks they're smarter than any generation that has ever lived. How absurd is that? God calls us and woos us. The historical record tells us that our Lord lived, that he died, that he resurrected. Not just in the Bible, in secular writings it is so. Archaeologically, you can go to Israel today and they will show you the very Roman streets that Christ walked on and where the events took place when he was alive. So while there may be those who mock, they're mocking the reality of what really happened. So I think it is absurd. I think it's ridiculous for people to say that they know better than what the historical, archaeological record tells us really was and is. So when we look at this, we know that Zacchaeus, he has to overcome the press. He has to overcome that crowd mentality. He's got to overcome all that society is pressing him away from that he might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse 7. And we see that public prejudice is a genuine public obstacle for Zacchaeus. Look at verse 7. It says, "And when they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." So the people began to mock that Christ was going to spend time with Zacchaeus. They're saying, "What in the world? Here's Jesus Christ, a preacher of righteousness. Here's Jesus Christ calling man and people to repentance and faith. And yet he's sitting and he's going to visit and eat with somebody hated because of their livelihood, because of the way they steal from people and graft money from them, why is he sitting with sinners? That would be a real obstacle. Because all of a sudden, Zacchaeus is a pariah. You're not worthy of coming to church. You're not worthy of praying with me. You're not worthy of worshiping with me because you're a sinner. That could be a real obstacle, couldn't it? And you and I must beware. We must be very careful. For we have to remember that Jesus Christ said, I came not for the righteous. I came for the sinner. And the Bible teaches that every one of us are sinners. And if we say we do not sin, we call him a liar. God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that we all must come to repentance and faith. So when these people were rejecting the fact that Christ was welcoming Zacchaeus, what they really were doing was denying who God was and is and what he does. Because God is a merciful God, a gracious God, who welcomes the repentance of sinners. So we've seen these obstacles. We've seen his personal obstacles, and we've seen his public obstacles. What's he going to do? How's he going to deal with these obstacles that would hinder him from coming to know the Lord? When we look at verse 4, we find how he overcomes the height issue. Verse 4, and he ran before the crowd and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. This last time that we were in Israel and then we went over to Jordan, one of the places we went to had a huge sycamore tree. It's the only time I've ever seen one of these giant sycamores over there in the Middle East, because most trees in the Middle East, by Vermont standards, really are scrub. They're not much. You know, a fully mature olive tree is not very big. It certainly would be able to be in this room with no problem. They just don't get very large. Most trees, it's very arid and dry there. But we went to see in a village a full-size, fully mature sycamore tree. And its trunk had to be as large as all of this here. And its branches started low and went up high, higher than this room, much higher than this room. So I can envision Zacchaeus starting with one of those lower limbs, climbing up. And now don't forget, we're living in a time where people walked where they went. They're in good health. Yesterday, I did a wedding up on top of the mountain over here. Mount Philo, yes. And so, as we were doing the wedding, I noticed all these people walking through. I mean, there had to be 100 people in the course of an hour and a half who walked through. They're all hikers, hiking up the mountain, hiking back down the mountain, maybe coming back up. I'm not sure if they're recycling. I'm not sure. But lots of people coming through. Well, at this time in history, people walked everywhere. Much better shape than the average American is in today. So I can very well see Zacchaeus looking at that sycamore tree and thinking to himself, I may be short, but I'm smart. So he decides, he gets in the tree, and he climbs up, and he overcomes the obstacle that there is in his life. You and I must be willing to overcome. We have to be thinkers and creators. We've got to go ahead and look at the circumstances and say, God, give me the insight and wisdom to overcome, that I might do what you have for me to do, whatever it is. If we're not careful, we get sucked in. And we get entrapped in whatever obstacle is before us. And before you know it, we have allowed it to control us instead of us control it. So we see here that Zacchaeus, he overcame his height problem by choosing to climb the sycamore tree. There's an old saying that says, never let what you cannot control hinder that which you can control. You see, you and I, we have to grab those opportunities. And we have to say, God, help me, enable me, show me, guide me, that I might overcome. When we look at verse 4, we also see not only him overcome the height problem, but the press, the crowd that's pressing and keeping him away from the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at verse 4, it says, and he ran. And he ran. So I want you to catch that. So the crowd is pressing and crowding. And it's preventing him to get through, to be able to see Christ. So instead, he ran around the crowd, got to the sycamore tree, and climbed up. Even reminds us more what great shape he must have been in. Amen? But he is going to beat the press. He's going to beat the crowd. He put all he had into it, and he ran around that crowd so that he could get in front of it. He knew where the Lord was going up this street, and he looked ahead, and he beat and ran ahead of the masses. That's an investment of time and energy. That's an investment of one's focus. He purposed within his heart to do whatever it would take that he might come to know the Lord. You and I in our lives, there may be great pressure brought to bear on you. There might be great peer pressure that prevents you from going ahead and coming to faith, coming to a place where you know and understand the Lord. And you need to get ahead of that peer pressure. You need to get in front of it. You need to not let it hinder you, prevent you. Your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, your coworkers, your entertainment, it should not shape you. You should shape it. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus does. He gets ahead of the press. He does whatever he has to do. He runs as fast as he has to run that he might overcome. When we come down to verse 8, it says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. You remember I told you that Zacchaeus' riches, his love of money, would come up in his account with Christ here. Christ doesn't say anything to him about money. When you read the text, you don't find Jesus saying to Zacchaeus, oh, you're a rich man. Never brings it up. The only guy who brings up his money is Zacchaeus. And that's because it weighs on his mind. It weighs on his mind that he knows he has put his money before his friends, his community, his faith. And now he looks at it face to face. And he says to the Lord, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, Christ didn't ask him for that. The Lord knows that money is, it's just a tool in our lives to be used. It's something that we use every day, and it's consumed, it's invested, it's put in place that it might be a tool that enables us to live our lives. But for Zacchaeus, it's a problem. This is a problem that weighs on his mind. And you know, it's an interesting thing with folks. Whatever sin they're involved in, it just seems to nag at them. Seems to nag at them. When I was a little boy, my grandparents on the Abbott side, my mother's side, they had little Pekingese dogs. Have you ever seen a Pekingese dog? I don't think they're as popular today as they were when my grandparents were alive. But that Pekingese dog, I mean, it was just the nastiest disposition dog I think I've ever seen in my life. Now, it was okay because my grandfather loved that kind of attitude, and so him and the dog were buddies. But that dog, when us kids would come in the house, you'd come in, that thing would be right at you, man. If you weren't careful, it's going to nip you, and it was happy to do it. It's just there. You know, you had to be careful. Well, that's kind of the way sin is. Sin gets a hold of us, and it's right there. It's just always nipping at us, always growling at us. And that's exactly what is happening to Zacchaeus. Christ didn't have to bring up his love of money. Zacchaeus knows it's a problem in his life. And so as soon as he gets a moment with the Lord, he says, "By the way, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor." But he doesn't even stop there. That's not even enough to quench his conscience. Listen to what he says as he comes down a little bit farther. He says, "And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Now that's a lot. Four times over. So say Mike took $10 from me. How much would you have to give me back fourfold? 40. I love that. You see that? Bam, he knew right there. So say Rose took 100. Fourfold, how much would you have to give back?
More than 40.
By 10 times. 400. So when Zacchaeus says this to the Lord, you realize he is trying to make right what he knows is wrong in his heart. He's not being asked to do this. He knows this is his problem. So the obstacle of the love of money, Zacchaeus sweeps to the side and he says, "Lord, I'm willing to take care of this problem right here and right now." And in our lives, if there is a sin that stands between you and God, if there's something in your life that has become a barrier, a wall, a hindrance, an obstacle between you and your relationship with God, it's time to wipe it aside and deal with it. That's what Zacchaeus teaches us here, is you can take care of the problem. You just have to be willing to bring it to the Lord. You just have to be willing to confess your sin so that he is faithful and just to forgive it, even as 1 John 1:9 tells us. Matthew 6:21 and Luke chapter 12, 34 tells us, "For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." And Zacchaeus is living evidence of that. He says, "Lord, I'm willing to take care of my problem. And I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is." And he takes care of the problem right there. What we find in Zacchaeus is a sincere repentance and an embracing of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. When you look down at Luke chapter 19, verse 9, it says, "And Jesus said to him, 'This day is salvation come to this house.'" This day is salvation come to this house. You don't have to wait and go through a bunch of exercises and sacrifices and religious rituals. You just have to come to a place of repentance and a place of faith. That's what Zacchaeus did that day. So much more than a children's song and a children's story. It's a historical record of a man who laid aside the obstacles in his life that he might come to full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ saw in his heart the sincerity of that repentance and faith. And he said, "This day, this very day, salvation has come to your house." This morning in your life, what is the obstacle that stands between you and putting full faith in the Lord? What is the obstacle that stands between you and having a sweet and good relationship with God? What is the obstacle that you're allowing to control you, hinder you, prevent you? Isn't it time to overcome? Isn't it time to go ahead and deal with it? And be like a Zacchaeus. Let God enable you to overcome. Let's bow our heads. As we bow our heads and come to the end of the service, I simply ask you to look in your heart and to look in your soul. And as you look, What stands between you and God? Only you know. Nobody had to tell Zacchaeus it was the love of money that it was his problem. He knew. God knew. And in your life this morning, just as in mine, we have to come to that place where we do a self-examination, just as Zacchaeus did. And we must overcome that we might come to know God. Father in heaven, as we go into this invitation time, I pray for your Holy Spirit to work and move and stir hearts, that we would come to that place where we might put full faith in you. Help each of us to recognize those obstacles that stand between us and a right relationship with you. Help us to deal with it today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. John's going to come and...